In one translation, indeed, all praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there's no one who can mislead Him. And whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there's no one to guide Him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His worshiper and His messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul and from it created its mate. And from the two of them, He spread forth many men and women. And be careful of your duty to Allah, whom you demand your mutual rights. And be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah.
And always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial. And He will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment indeed. The best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters, which has no precedence in Islam, and indeed, all innovations are astray, and each astray is in the hellfire, and O Allah, save us from it, O Allah, accept our dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. The month of Ramadan, in which the beginning of the Quran was sent down as a guide for mankind and an explanation regarding that guidance and the difference between right and wrong. The difference between right and wrong. And as we enter the final third of the month of Ramadan, again, I would like to take this opportunity to just reflect, you know, on the inner dimensions of this blessed month, because it's important, as I mentioned in previous khutbas, that it's not just about giving up the food. It's about, you know, internal change. That's what it's all about. And we are never perfect. We are never perfect. The only entity in existence that's perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as human beings, you know, we're going to, again, make bad decisions. We're going to sin. We're going to do wrong. And so we have to look at, okay, what do I need to work on? What have I identified this month so I can work on the rest of the year and possibly the rest of my life? It's just like when people are in recovery programs, they say, you know, it's a lifetime commitment one day at a time. And what does the Prophet, peace be upon him, say? He said, to live each day as if it's going to be your last. You know, because one day you're going to be correct. You know, and that's important. You know, to live each day as if it's going to be your last. And that's what we have to look at doing, brothers and sisters. You know, it's a time for spiritual reflection, increased devotion, again, self-improvement. And we talk about the whole concept of in business, quality assurance, that nothing is ever perfect in business. And so just like in business, we have to have quality assurance in life. And that's what Ramadan gives us. It gives us an opportunity to review ourselves. You know, we recognize that as Muslims, you know, again, it's, you know, we just look at the title, Muslim, one who submits. And what does the one who submits does? He's sacrificing. You know, when we look at all of the prophets, peace be upon all of them, that have come before the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they sacrifice many things. And so we look at all the people who have fought to preserve Islam in this part of the world. We stand on their shoulders. And so we have to basically remember them in our dua because we may be the answer to their duas. You know, so we have to recognize that Ramadan gives us this opportunity to make the necessary change. It's the month of obligatory fasting. That's one of the points that we, you know, we all know. Shahar al-Siyam, and also Shahar al-Tilawat, the month of reading the Quran. And so if we're not reading the Quran, you know, come out. The several masajids are offering, you know, the Salat al-Tarawih. And, you know, again, it's an opportunity for you to hear the Quran in the language in which it was revealed in. But if you can't do that, read the Quran. If you can, and also use this as an opportunity to learn some ayats. You know, don't go beyond just the old faithfuls. You know, we have to basically start to stretch out. As I mentioned last week, that as much Quran as we know, it's basically going to be shade for you on the Day of Judgment. And so some of us may have a little, you know, brim, and some of us may have, you know, a tent for the most part. And so, but if you just learned an ayat a week, you, by the end of the year, 52 ayats you've learned. You know, and we have so much technology today that we can do that. The Shahar al-Maghfir. Again, it's the month of forgiveness. The month of forgiveness. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever fasts Ramadan out of faith and expects a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his past sins will surely be forgiven. Out of faith, not just showing off like the scholar. They said the man was talking about, oh, this is a great scholar, and you know, he does this and he knows that and he knows this, and the scholar looked up and said, yeah, I'm fasting too. He's showing off. Showing off. So fasting is fi sabilillah, it's for Allah's pleasure. The Shahar al-Rahmah, the month full of abundant mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah sends down various graces that are not found outside of Ramadan. The doors of goodness that lead to heaven are wide open. And also it's the Shahar of Najat, the month of liberation from the torment of hell. Allah promises forgiveness of sins and liberation from the torment of the hellfire for those who fast because of faith and only hope for Allah's pleasure. And also, of course, the Shahar of the Eid, the month that ends with the feast, the Eid, Eid al-Fitr. Ramadan is greeted with the joy that ends with the Eid al-Fitr, and with the celebrations, it's about basically full of happiness. And also, you know, it's a time for us, you know, giving charity. The Shahar al-Jud, the month of generosity. You know, we have to be as generous as possible, specifically, you know, especially the people who are, you know, less fortunate than us. You know, the poor, the people who are dealing with housing insecurity, the people who are dealing, you know, with food insecurity. And when people ask, you got to give it, you know, and you know, but you know, you don't want to judge the intention of the person who's asking, you know. So giving the charity, and it's, as Allah says, that it's like planting one seed of corn when you give charity. From that one seed of corn, you get a stalk, and from that stalk, you get several ears, and each ear has 100 seeds for the most part, and that's the return on each act of charity that you give. The Prophet ﷺ was the best example and was most generous during the month of Ramadan. And also, it's the Shahar of patience, because again, fasting trains a person to behave patiently, have a big heart, and withstand the trials. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that the month of Ramadan is the month of patience, and the reward of the patient is heaven. And so we have to look at how, you know, we are, you know, going to, you know, practice and be able to implement some of the lessons of the month of Ramadan. And again, this hadith, for instance, it highlights the importance of patience during Ramadan, as it is a time for us to develop our patience and endurance. And then also, of course, it's the month of Allah, the Shahar al-Allah, because in it, you know, Allah multiplies the reward for the fasting people. What does Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, every deed that the son of Adam does is for him, except fasting. Verily, fasting is for me, and I will be the one to reward him. And again, we don't fast for show. You know, we fast for Allah. We fast for the pleasure of Allah. And again, as the Prophet also said, that fasting is a shield. And just as a shield protects you in battle, fasting protects you from the desires, the battle that you have with the desires. And that's the important thing, because in this society, so many people follow their own desires. And as Allah says, their own desires become their Lord. They worship their desires. And so what you feel is correct, and it might be something that Allah says is incorrect, then, you know, then you're taking that as your Lord. You know, Allah forbade gambling, forbade intoxicants. But you have Muslims trying to, you know, make that okay, you know, as opposed to say, hey, I got a problem. You know, because the first step to resolving a problem is acknowledgement of the problem.
If you don't acknowledge the problem, they call it in Arabic, inkar, in denial. In denial. And that's not the river in Egypt, y'all. You know, it is about basically just denying the problem that you have. And so it's important that we use this time to get rid of these problems and not just be, accepting of the problem and just say, oh, well, I'm just weak. No. You know, Allah will give you what you strive for. Give you what you strive for. And again, just as fasting offers that shield, you know, it offers the shield, you know, from our own desires, from our own selves. It's a protection that Allah gives us. Fasting requires us to control our desires and to resist the temptation to eat and drink during the day, because we can have a house full of food, but we're saying, no, I'm going to wait until sunset. No, I'm going to, you know, wait till later. And then, as I say, you take that spiritual energy and you carry it through the rest of the year so that you're able to resist all of the challenges that are facing you, you know, throughout the year. It's a test of our willpower. And again, it's a reminder of the blessings that we often take for granted, because when we deny ourselves certain things, okay, imagine people like the people in Gaza who haven't eaten animal feed, who haven't eaten grass. You know, and the people are saying, oh, these people they've gotten so much faith. And I was listening to Sheikh Omar Suleiman. They're doing a series, 30 for 30. I don't know if I would advise many of you to look into it, addressing each Jews each day. But one of the points, he said that the people of Gaza, they already had that faith. And so when we're in this period of so-called peace, how much faith are we absorbing? How much is our iman increasing? How much is our iman increasing? So that when we are tried like the people who were tried in Gaza, the people who were tried on the Middle Passage coming over in slavery, because many of them, they practice Islam in private. And one brother wrote a whole Quran from memory because he was a scholar. You know, again, when a trial happens, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next year or two. You know, Muslims may be on the menu, you know, and so we have to basically have, and when you have enough iman, it doesn't matter if you have atomic bombs, army, all of that stuff, because you the weapon. You can have all sorts of weaponry, but if you don't have it in your heart, you're not going to want to use it. You're not going to be able to use it. So you are the weapon that they fear the most. You know, there was an old story, I don't know how true it is, it said old J. Edgar Hoover, you know, Allah curse him, you know, he said his greatest fear was for, he specifically said for the African American to have true Islam. That was one of his greatest fear. Because they know history repeats itself. And just like Islam was dominant at the founding of this country, Allah gonna have it happen again. But where are you gonna be in that number? You know, so we have to be of those who are using this month of Ramadan to fuel ourselves, fill ourselves up with the spiritual energy so that when we have a trial, you know, we have enough gas to get across the trial. If I've said anything that's inconsistent with what Allah has given us, and if I said anything in which, again, that was against the Prophet, peace be upon him, then I take full responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new insight, as always, all praise belongs to Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. O Allah, send peace and blessings upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family and his companions. And Allah, increase his honor and elevate his station. Grant him the highest place in paradise and bless him with your divine mercy. And O Allah, bless us with his intercession on the day of judgment and forgive our sins. Again, Ramadan is also a time for increased devotion. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that when the Ramadan comes, again, the gates of paradise are opened and the gates of hell are closed and the devils are chained. And again, this hadith emphasizes the importance of, again, using this month as a time for worship and drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, increasing the charity, reading the Quran, visiting the sick and shut-in. And again, also increasing your devotion. And also, again, using this time for self-improvement. The Prophet ﷺ said, Whoever does not give up false speech and evil actions, Allah is not in need of them leaving the food and drink. And so we have to remember that particular hadith, because again, a lot of times we think that's all there is. We have to use this month to focus on building our character. That's what the Prophet said. He said he only came to improve character. He only came to improve character. You know, work on our honesty, kindness, and generosity. And we should also use this month to mend relationships and forgive those who have wronged us. Because again, the forgiveness is not for the other person. You know, what's the old saying? It says that he who chooses not to forgive is like one drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So forgiveness is for you, you know, because if you don't forgive people, it's like you're carrying all of those people that you don't forgive around, and that creates a heaviness that weighs you down spiritually, you know, mentally, you know, and that's what we have to look at. We have to learn, use this month to forgive those who have wronged us. It doesn't mean that you have to be best friends, you know, with the person that you forgive. You're letting it go, you know, turning it over. You know, again, patience, devotion, and self-improvement. It's a time for us to come together, strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and renew our commitments, you know, to the teaching of Islam. You know, again, we have classes, and sometimes there's, you know, just a handful of people in the class. And so we have people who have traveled throughout the world to get this knowledge in Arabic. And so when the classes are offered, again, come to the classes, specifically those of you who have just learned the deen. And we have brothers and sisters around who can teach you just the basics and also teach you advanced knowledge in Islam. And again, you know, it's you know, because if we put the same energy that we put in our lifestyle in the dunya, going to the clubs and playing video games for hours and hours and hours, you know, just imagine if you took just a portion of that time and applied it to increasing your knowledge, you'd be surprised, you know, how much knowledge you will attain. And again, may Allah accept our fasting and our prayers, and may Allah, you know, again, improve, you know, accept our efforts to improve ourselves. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا لقتنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إثما كما حملت والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واكف لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا أهل الكون من الكافرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.